Blog Talk Radio.
To the cross in the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Monday, March 6, 2023. Good news! The book, the latest book that I co-authored with my dear friend Heather Joy, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, has been sent to my friend Chris, who will do his formatting magic and put it a nice together with a good-looking touch, and will send it to Amazon for publication. So in the next few days, I hope to get that book out to you. I will, as soon as I hear back from my friend Chris, I will format it for Kindle. And then in the next few days, I don't know exactly when, Uprising, We Are the Revolution will be available in paperback and Kindle on Amazon. Very, very excited about this publication. My friend Heather will be appearing with me this Thursday to talk about one of the persons in the book, activist Iranian rapper Tomaj Salehi, and the incredible torture he is suffering with as they are trying to break his spirit in an Iranian prison. She will be my guest on Thursday, and she will also be my guest within the next few days after that as we talk about this book that we wrote together. Now, unfortunately, along with the good news this morning, there is some really terrible news. If you've been following my Facebook page, then you know about the thousands of young, innocent Iranian schoolgirls who have been hospitalized, some of them dead, poisoned. A chemical attack on Iranian schoolgirls. And again, when you hear things like this, you say, well, what else is new? They do this all the time to their own people. Well, I want to read to you from Human Rights Watch this morning an article that takes us through kind of step-by-step of what is going on to these young schoolgirls. And then I'm going to play a soundbite of an interview on MSNBC with an Iranian lady. Her name is Holly, I think, and she's going to talk about really what's going on. But first, I want to read to you from Human Rights Watch this morning. Iran's reformist Etamed News Agency reported on March 1st that over the past 3 months, hundreds of schoolgirls have been poisoned, and at least 58 schools in 10 provinces across the country. In the past 2 days, at least three schools in Tehran described students being poisoned by toxic gas emissions. Shard Daily Paper has reported this. Videos circulated on social media appear to show students from one affected school chanting slogans in protest and then plainclothes officers violently attacking a mother who had come to the school. Well, the police issued a statement denying its force's role in the attack, and its spokesperson said that they have arrested those involved in the attack. Well, I got to stop right there. Every story I've written in the new book They have an explanation to the death of Iranian protesters, most of them young women. They always say, well, they weren't killed in the protests. They committed suicide or they fell off a building. They always have a convenient explanation. When Mahsa Amini was severely beaten, then they had a video of her dying of a heart attack. It had nothing to do with her being beaten. It was an old medical injury that resurfaced. So, again, when I read this, I know right away they're covering their ass. That's exactly what they do. Now, they have responded to these claims, but they have all these contradicting explanations. They downplay the seriousness, and they don't take seriously the outrage of students and parents. Back on February 26, Yonas Panahi, Iran's deputy health minister, said, quote, after reported poisoning of students in Qom schools, it became evident that some people wanted all schools, especially girls' schools, to be closed down. Now, later on, he said he was misunderstood in this sentence or this report. Now, Sami Najabadi, he's a member of the Parliamentary Health Commission, told Dibad Iran that, quote, what is evident is that these attacks in Qom and Borjerud are deliberate. Okay, we'll give him credit for saying at least it's deliberate. Several local and national authorities have said they have opened investigations but have provided no details or findings. Now, of course, all of this stems back on September 16th, 2022, when Mahsa Jina Amini was murdered. That's what it was. It was a murder. And there have been protests since then of women chanting woman, life, freedom. Now, Iranians have expressed fears that these reported poisonings are aimed as propaganda to spread fear to silence schoolgirls. Now, there are those that want to say, well, these are religious fundamentalist groups who hate when women go to school, who oppose girls' education. Whatever it is, I can guarantee you that it is government authorized. Let's not try to hide the facts, Iran, that it's some fundamentalist group and that you're going to investigate them, you're going to bring them to justice. Really, think back with me to 2014 when attackers threw acid into the faces of several women in Isfahan. That's about 9 years ago. Authorities never made any arrests or prosecuted anyone for it. They always say they're investigating, and they never come up with a suspect and never prosecute anyone. Why? Because it is government authorized. There have been murders during these protests. It's all documented in the book Uprising. Arbitrary arrest of thousands and killings of hundreds of people, including children. And you will never find anyone other than the government responsible for this. Now, on March 1st, the Iranian Trade Association, associated with the teachers, issued a statement calling on Iran's senior leadership, including the supreme leader and religious leaders, to clearly condemn these attacks and to do something about it. Iranian authorities need to launch a prompt, transparent, impartial investigation into these reported poisoning of girls at school. They need to bring the perpetrators to justice, ensure the safety of all students. But, unfortunately, their long history of disregard for the basic rights of Iranian citizens, especially women and girls, leaves little reason to be hopeful genuine investigations and appropriate action will be carried out. That's from Human Rights Watch, March 2nd. I want to play for you right now an interview on MSNBC that will document everything I've been saying about these terrifying chemical attacks on Iranian schoolgirls.
To Iran, where authorities are investigating what the Iranian government is calling potentially deliberate poisoning of hundreds of schoolgirls. According to senior officials, the girls from schools across the country have been suffering respiratory, cardiac, and neurological symptoms. Iranian media is reporting that the poisonings have been taking place for months. Officials also say it may have been a coordinated effort to prevent girls from receiving an education. All of this comes amid the other protest movements that have been all over the country that have erupted against the Iranian regime in recent months. Protests, perhaps not coincidentally, led by women and girls. With me now is Holly Dagris, a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council whose focus is on Iran. Holly, I appreciate you coming in. I think what surprised us on this story is the fact that the government officially is acknowledging this problem. Here's what it tells me. It means that they don't know what to do, or that's why they're going public. Do they need help? Why do you think they went public with this?
Well, Chuck, this has actually been going on since November 30th, where we saw the first incident happen in the holy city of Qom. It's been a story for some time in Iran, and it was only when it started hitting other cities, like the capital, Tehran, that we actually saw that it was getting attention because Iranians were making noise about it. Parents, understandably worried and concerned about the health of their daughters, were starting to protest after outside of schools. And there was so much pressure on authorities to actually take action. Did this actually become a topic of conversation in the country?
I guess that's what's is so... Is there, can we trust the Iranian government to do a thorough investigation? You're already shaking your head.
No, and the reason I'm shaking my head is that this is a repressive government. They have eyes and ears everywhere. How is it that they have surveillance technology from China to actually monitor if a woman is wearing mandatory hijab in a metro station, but they're not able to actually understand where or how this is happening in reportedly at least 15 cities across the country? So it's leading a lot of Iranians to believe in that this is deliberate. And we've actually heard the deputy health minister say that this is deliberate. And ironically, just right after he said that, he said he was misquoted. And
I was just going to say, is he still the deputy health minister? Or he had to come out with the, oh, I was misquoted.
He was misquoted, okay. he alleges. But the truth be told is that a lot of Iranians rightfully believe that this was an act of revenge. We have to remember that the mass protests that have been continuous since mid-September 2022 after the murder of Mahsa Jina Amini were led by young Iranian girls, Iranian Gen Z, and these are the targets right now. So this seems to be an act of revenge against these very girls.
You know, this is what authoritarian regimes that get accused of genocide do. What should the world community be doing right now about this?
Well, they definitely should not be ignoring it. We should be hearing more condemnation of what's happening. We've heard the State Department say that Iran must investigate what's happening, but as we can see, they've been very incompetent at that, purposely so, possibly. Mm-hmm. There's been already pressure on families. There's been arrests. Just the other day, a very brutal video of a woman just protesting outside of school, worried about her daughter's well-being, having her hair and her clothes taken and just pulled away and pushed into a unmarked vehicle. We don't even know where this woman went. So it's telling us that they're not listening.
How are our eyes and ears, right? We've always said our on the ground, we're good at surveilling Iran. We're not good at sort of, as our intelligence is sort of being inside that. In many ways, Israel's got better eyes and ears in Iran than the U.S. does. Any of the intelligence assessments here have an idea of where this is emanating from?
It's really hard to say. Unfortunately, because Iran is ruled by an authoritarian government, the Iranians, the only way they're able to get their voices out to the world is through social media. So the only way we've been really seeing what's happening, these videos that have been coming out on social media of girls being hospitalized, not able to breathe, talking about their symptoms, and of course the parents being pushed into unmarked vehicles is really what we're able to rely upon right now.
You are an expert on Iran for the Atlantic Council, which means the other piece of news this week had to do with how close they are, in theory, to enriching uranium to weapons grade. There seems to be not the amount of alarm that you might expect from the West on this. Why is that?
Well, there's a lot going on in the world, for starters, and I think that when we look at the 84% that has been reported in the International Atomic Energy Agency's latest report, right now there's a sense that these were just particles traced, not that Iran was necessarily actually keeping this. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, that means it's near weapons grade. 90% is near weapons grade. And so there is definitely concern, but I get the sense that maybe they're thinking about other options Plan B.
Holly Daggers from the Atlantic Council, the Iranian expert over there. Appreciate you coming in and helping shed some
A good report there, and the point that Holly was making that I found very insightful was that you know they have facial recognition technology. They can monitor and stalk women and issue them a summons in the mail, you weren't wearing your hijab. They have all this technology to survey everyone, but the same technology that can find out who's wearing their hijab or not, you mean that same technology cannot spot someone poisoning these innocent schoolgirls? Of course it can. But again, it's because the government is punishing schoolgirls for daring to speak out in protest against the government. There are videos of schoolgirls giving the finger to the supreme leader in a classroom. It's posted on social media. And of course you know exactly what is going on here. In our new book, Uprising, we document girl after girl, Nika Shakarami, Hadas Najafi, Azra Panahi. We talk about them becoming martyrs for freedom in the book and document what this government does to them. Speaking of schoolgirls, I just want to bring you briefly an excerpt from my new book, Uprising, about Azra Panahi. She was a young schoolgirl, lived in the city of Ardabil. She was an athlete. She was a swimmer. She had won medals in competition. One day, and it was actually October 12th, just a few weeks after the death of Mahsa Jini Amini, that the students of Shahed Girls School in Ardabil, which Azra was a student at, were bused to this pro-government rally. And they were forcing these students to sing a special song praising the supreme leader of Iran. Now, keep it in context, it's just 3 weeks after the death of Jina Mahsa Amini. Well, obviously the young girls were not going to do that. They were in no mood to sing to the supreme leader. They refused to raise their voices. And, of course, one of those voices was that of Azra Panahi. She absolutely refused to sing this song. And she joined the rest of her schoolmates and remained silent. But what they did do was chanted, "Death to the dictator." Once they returned to school, well, the principal is outraged. These girls were required to sing this anthem to the supreme leader, and they refused. So he immediately called for security forces to come to the school. Now, keep this in context. These young schoolgirls that were poisoned, you know at some point, they were singled out as being protesting either on social media or something they had said or posted on their Facebook, on their Instagram. They were singled out, and that's when the poisoning began. In the case of Azra, here comes security officers to the school beating these young schoolgirls, 15 years old, beating them in the head. 12 of them were rushed to the hospital, had severe trauma to the brain. One of those was Azra Panahi, who refused to sing. 3 days later, the famed swimmer of Iran succumbed to her injuries and died. Now, you remember a few years ago when famous NFL football players refused to stand for the national anthem. They instead took a knee. I was outraged at that. It was totally inappropriate. But yet, we have the right here to either stand or not stand. It's offensive, but we have a constitutional right to say no to something we don't agree with. Azra was an athlete too. She didn't have that right in Iran. She, like the football players, refused to sing. And she paid with it. With her life. It was met with violence and death. Her rights were swiftly denied as a reminder to all other schoolgirls that obedience is not an option in the Islamic Republic of Iran. This young Iranian swimmer has won my heart forever. She didn't win a gold medal in swimming. She got a bronze. But we will never know, will we? She could have been an Olympic champion one day. But her mark on humanity, with her refusal to sing, her act of courage, was heard around the world. Ezra, a schoolgirl, refused to honor a dictator. She refused to sing praise to a murderer. She spoke up boldly for all Iranian women and for the rest of the women of the world. You and I, we must never forget her supreme act of bravery. Ezra, you define exactly what the word freedom truly means. Please join me in condemning the poisoning of these thousands of young, innocent schoolgirls in Iran. Please join me in praying that this government will be held accountable for what it does to its own people. The families of these, the friends, the loved ones, all of them need some healing rain to help them through this tragedy, to bring hope and healing to those that survived and are marked with trauma in their bodies, maybe for the rest of their lives. I want to pray for them right now with a song, a beautiful song by Michael W. Smith, Healing Rain.
Healing rain is coming down, is coming nearer to this old town, the rich and poor, the weak and strong, it's bringing mercy, it won't be long. Take us high.
praying for healing rain upon all of these young, innocent schoolgirls traumatized, victimized by this serious, life-threatening chemical attack upon their bodies. When you read stories like this and you watch the images and the pictures on social media, it's heart-wrenching. This is a community of young, academic, hard-working schoolgirls who could change the world. You don't know what God can do in the lives of these young women to become great leaders. And they are being snuffed out by an oppressive dictatorship government that suppresses their right to simply disagree with that government. In the case of Azra Panahi, I say this again and again, here we have the right to protest. We may be offended at the things protesters say, but we have a right to do that here, but not in Iran. And one young schoolgirl named Azra Panahi made her mark on humanity by saying, regardless of what happens to me, I'm going to say no, I refuse to sing. So please, I'm asking you to follow my page, to share this podcast with your friends, to bring awareness of what's going on in Iran, and join me in condemning this government chemical attack on young schoolgirls and praying, most importantly, praying for their healing, praying that the healing rain will fall upon them and bring them back out of the trauma of what they suffer. We can't even imagine what that is like. It's just horrendous to see how a government out of control will do this to their own citizens. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on The Cross in the Desert. Don't forget this Thursday, my special guest will be Heather Joy, and she will talk to us about Tomash Salehi, an Iranian rapper in prison in Iran. So God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday on The Cross in the Desert.